What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Hi, are you hungry? Good thing, because it's time for your weekly slice of Tres Leches, served as a podcast, your new favorite auditory treat, where the zest of Latino culture meets the effervescence of queer narratives with your hosts, Ian, Johnny, and Juan. Hello, everybody. Bienvenidos a todos a otro episodio de Tres Leches, tu deleite auditivo presentado por mí, Juan Torres Falcón y Johnny Sibley. Johnny, I'm so sorry. There's no Spanish equivalent way of saying your name. So, you know, I guess I could have said like Johnny y Sibili, pero it doesn't matter.
Hi, guys.
Oh, my goodness. Hi. Hello. That was beautiful.
How are you guys doing?
Very Miss Nicaragua vibes.
Nicaragua.
Wow. And that's where I'm going to spend New Year's. Look at that.
What?
Oh, have we not talked about this?
Oh yeah. No.
I'm going to Nicaragua for New Year's. Some friends in LA got a house, and it was either that or staying in Miami and doing the same thing. Not same thing, but you know, just like I've done that before. And it's great to be from Miami because a lot of our New York friends tend to go there because it is obviously a destination for the New Year's celebration. But I wanted to do something different, and it's really cheap for like a week's worth of this house that we got on a I don't even know where exactly in Nicaragua it is, but so I'm gonna do that for like I think it's like 6 days, so I'm really excited.
Who are you going with?
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, do tell.
I'm like, I'm what, going
you, if you can my, share
my friends Nick and JT who live in LA. They got this place, and you know, they asked if I wanted to go, and I was like, "Yes, that sounds like exactly
like what you want."
What the doctor ordered. Exactly. So, guys, I want to jump in right now because we got some feedback.
We got some feedback this week. Oh goodness!
Over the pod, some feedback from friends of the pod, and some of that feedback was that you guys felt, mind you, these two people, but I'm sure maybe other of you are feeling the same way, but you just don't have Juan's contact info or Johnny's contact info. Otherwise, we'd get more text messages saying that you feel like I'm not speaking enough. And I quote, "Ian's less talkative than I know him to be," is from one. And the second was, "Will you guys let him get a word in?" Which is so sweet and funny. And just, I kind of, what's that called? It caters to my ego. So thank you. But at the same time, we had some really good discussion about this because God, podcasting is this interesting place where, you know, I love to talk, but I love to hear other people talk more. Juan is a great storyteller. Johnny is a great storyteller. Juan is a better storyteller, but I love to listen to both of them equally. And so I tend to, what is that? Not divert, or there's that word for defer. Like, I'm going to throw it to you. Defer. Thank you. I tend to defer because in real life, I don't just usually give like a very impulsive opinion hot take. I am not the hot take wonder. Juan and Johnny have taken those roles quite boisterously, and so I let them do that. But because I can thank you. Sorry. See, I told, and that's the other thing is, guys, if you really wanted me to talk a lot, I guarantee you would get sick of me, my deepest fear. And also like, this is only episode 4 or 5. Trust me, we're going to have hundreds of episodes, and there's going to be a subject where I am so emphatic and passionate about what I am talking about. You will literally be like, never, ever let Ian speak on this podcast again. I'm warning you now that is going to happen.
I don't think it'll happen.
Did you get that off your chest?
I did. And you know, what was on my mind? But what is also on all three of our minds today, should we talk about what we're going to dive into?
Ooh.
Oh, we should. We should.
Okay, let's do it. Well, today we're diving headfirst into some glittering world of our favorite beauty. We're going to explore the highs, the lows, the brows, the nose, and everything in between.
Yes,
which
we are.
I guess is the nose.
Did you write that before? I can.
Or did you? So. Grab your favorite face mask, settle into your skincare routine, and get ready for a journey into the nitty-gritty of our daily beauty rituals. We're talking about the stuff we can't live without, the secrets that keep us aglowing, and dissecting the heart of it all, vanity. Yes, that's right. Vanity takes center stage as we unravel our relationships with how we look, exploring the depths of self-expression and self-love. From the makeup miracles to the skincare sorcery, we're bearing it all. Mm. Expect laughter, a few beauty blunders, and maybe even some unexpected revelations. This episode is all about celebrating the unique and diverse ways we each define and embrace our own beauty.
Wow.
So, whether you're a beauty guru, okay, all of that is to say, or if you're someone who is, you know, a skincare novice, or you know everything, or somewhere in between, we're going to have a chat that is quite as refreshing as the hydrating mask that I'm sure you have on while you're listening to us right now. And so, this episode, we're going to talk about beauty.
Work.
We are.
ChatGPT heard you out, didn't she, honey?
We'll be editing that out, actually. I spent all my time prepping. She gave me a good base, and I added, you know, the best part. I'm not going to even tell you what I added, but I added
some sprinkles. I have a feeling. I'd like to see the drafts. Oh, my God. I just had... oh, my goodness. This subject. It gets me all hot and bothered. Yeah. It gets me all hot and bothered. Beauty. I do love it. I love this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Ever since I was a little kid, I've always liked it.
Yeah.
Well, you have been very... Your presentation is a thing for you, like you said in the last episode.
It is.
But has skincare always been at the top of the list for you, or did that come at a later age? Because I know for me, like I've had good skin for a really long time. I got really good feedback from, you know, when it mattered, when all of a sudden people were like,
sure,
great skin, which is like college and on. Mm-hmm. And I never really tended to my skin per se. And then, you know, I went through the Kielsing of it all. There was like a moment where like everybody used Kiehl's. And so I'm curious, like, what was your guys' journey with specifically skincare? Because I feel like that's just such a, that's the first thing we see. You know what I mean? I'm seeing your pores the second I meet you.
Hello.
Or not seeing your pores the second I meet you.
Totally.
Well, I'll say skincare for me, you were asking if it started early for me. So I have psoriasis and eczema. So as a kid, and I was always kind of aware of like when something went wrong with your skin, how people perceive you. Cause it felt like that it was like contagious or that there was something really wrong. So I was just always kind of aware of it in that way. But, and then I just always loved vanity and beauty products. My mom worked in television and I just adored makeup and the women that the TV anchors. My mom at the time was working on Univision, and we're talking about the grand dames of Spanish television.
Yeah.
Marilena Salinas, Maria Celeste Jaraz, Mirka de Llanos, Maria Antonieta Collins, Lili Estefan. These are the women. Neida Sandoval, Ana Maria Canseco. These are the women that like I grew up around, and I just got used to that level of like being turnt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like having your face beat, waist cinched, blouse pressed, heels on, pantyhose
down,
fresh.
Yeah,
you know, so it's always been kind of a thing, I love skincare and makeup and all of it.
Was there like an age where you started wearing makeup?
You know, I have always been. I have this weird thing about makeup. So I love makeup, but I don't really love wearing makeup.
Yeah, that's fair.
I use a little bit of it, but this is very strange. Makeup makes me feel very tired. If I'm wearing makeup, if I have makeup on and I'm like spending the day, I feel very worn out. It's like I think it's the fact that I'm trying to preserve it. I'm doing everything I can psychologically to stay fresh. So at the end of the day, I'm like tired. It weighs me down. I don't know how else to describe it.
Wow.
And so even like a light boy beat. So I've never been one to like wear a ton of makeup. What I will What I will, you know, I definitely went through like a heavy bronzer phase when I was in college. Oh, baby. I loved like a
Bobby Brown,
just like a spray tan and like a NARS bronzer. I just wanted to be just so plump and full and tan. Oh, and I had my, I had a Bare Minerals phase. Oh my God. I had a Bare, when Bare Minerals came out, I had a Bare Minerals phase where I was just like, what is it? Pour, swirl, no, tap, swirl, buff. And you would, it was like, that was the technique and you could create like a flawless look. But nowadays, if I'm going, if I'm going to be photographed or if I'm going to be something, I will definitely wear a little bit of makeup and powder because I love a good matte finish. But I will always, even though they're not done right now, I usually always pencil in my eyebrows a little bit, always.
And I never noticed. You do a really good job of it.
Do you have light eyebrows?
Strong brows. I have strong brows. No, I have these are my natural heavy brows.
Period.
So why do you love like a thick ass brow?
Oh, okay.
I like them to be like even thicker. They're pretty good.
They're really good. Very even. Do you feel like you do certain things that you're like, I don't really need it, but like I enjoy the ritual of it. Like even today, getting ready for the podcast, I was like, I'm going to put in some effort on my face more than I usually do because like you said, like I enjoy what makeup can do, but I've never really worn makeup unless I was doing a show. And then you, Juan, were actually the person who, when we went to the Oscars and you were my date for the first time or like the first Oscars I went to and
casual,
we went to Sephora or whatever. And,
it was very fun.
I forget what that foundation was that you got me and then you were
amazing.
I forget what it's the, do you remember the brand? I could go find it in the,
it's CC cream.
CC cream, which I love. You were like, and then you just kind of taught me a little bit of the tricks of like, this will, you know, just kind of take off some of the redness and all of that. And that has become really fun.
Don't let them know.
exactly. But you know, my favorite part of it is applying. It's like, it's the math of it. It's the art of it. It's the like, oh, I'm painting a painting. You know, it's less that like I care about what I look like after because kind of to your point, Juan, I feel very aware that I have it on. And so I'm wondering the whole time if people are noticing that it's on me. Not like all the time, but I know what I normally look like and it's usually great. And so when I put stuff on to accentuate or conceal, don't feel, I'm like, oh, they're noticing probably that there's something there. And then that becomes a little like, that becomes like this running thing that I hate about wearing makeup.
That's an interesting part of like the thing with gay men wearing makeup specifically. It's like you either want to be clocked. You want to be like, okay, my face is completely beat beyond belief, right? Beat to death. Or you want to like fly under the radar.
Yeah.
You want to look like it's very natural. Like it's just your fabulous masculinity and it's not your testosterone injections and the makeup you put on that make you look, that are making you look your age.
Absolutely. There was no greater joy I felt when people were like, what do you do to your skin? Like, have you ever gotten Botox? And every time I answered no, like there, I didn't realize how much of a coveted position that is to be able to say like, no, I've never done that before. And everyone's like kind of gagged and jealous of your skin. Anyway,
still not to that?
That was good. I like that we've all turned up a little bit of the sass today. It's because I'm wearing orange. No, Johnny, what about you and your journey with your face? Because you have great skin too.
Oh, thank you. I think...
Oh, that was so sweet. You really took that in.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I don't know. From an early age, I didn't really think about skincare because... I don't know. I just, my mom was always like, you're so beautiful. Like there was never a time where I felt like at least my mom or like my family didn't think I was the cutest thing in the world. Until, you know, you go out into the world and everyone's like, you suck. But I would say, I remember the first time I did like skincare was when I think I was in college and it was It was Kiehl's. Oh, I remember because I started working at a spa at the Mandarin Oriental in Miami. Very, very chic, very she. And there was always, we were always trying to sell products to people. So there were a lot of like moisturizers and skin. So I remember, I think I was like 19 or 20 when I first used any kind of moisturizer or anything. I used to get like facials and massages from the massage therapists and the estheticians at the spa. They would practice.
Lucky.
They would practice on us. And I remember just feeling so delicious when I finished that I was like, I have to continue this. But I couldn't afford what we were selling at the spa. So I remember going to, I don't know if it was Sephora or somewhere of the sort. And I was like, you know, very scared because I was like, this is a lady thing. And I walk in and the woman's like, how can I help you? I'm like, I just want like a man, like a male moisturizer. Aww. And so they gave me like Kiehl's.
Yeah.
Which like now I would never put on my face.
How is it possible that that is like allowed, that we all know like, oh, don't do Kiehl's, but Kiehl's is still Kiehl's-ing.
Well, because it's
fine. Okay.
Here's the thing. It's not the worst. It's better than nothing, but to me, it does feel entry level skincare. And if you are listening and you use Kiehl's, I'm not saying you should get rid of it. I'm just saying for me, I have graduated from Kiehl's University and I've left her back in the dust or in the Equinox shower. So that being said, but then
among other things,
but then as time goes on and you start like, you know, getting photographed and, you know, doing red carpets and stuff, you start to like see pictures back and you're like, oh, the dark circles are circling, you know, and the older I get, the more I'm like, it is nice to have just a little bit of help. And like you were saying, Ian, the doing of the thing is so fun.
The ritual.
The ritual of it is really fun. And there's this one product that I love. It's by Charlotte Tilbury. I learned this off of TikTok, actually. Charlotte Tilbury Photo Finish. And you just put a little bit of that. You put a little bit of concealer under your eyes because that's my usual problem area. I put a little bit of Fenty concealer under my eyes, very, very small amount. And then I put the Photo Finish, boom, 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 on my forehead, cheeks, nose. And then I just boom and I put it in. And I swear to you, I look just like a slick, like nothing's there. And I think the first time I used it was when I went to the SAG Awards this year, actually. And I looked at the pictures back and I was like, oh, bitch, you look like you paid someone to make sure you looked good. So it's something that I live by and for. And if you know about it, it's fierce. If you don't, get on it. Like if you both haven't tried it, I really do recommend.
I love that. You know, I love a bargain. I love what, if you're saying you looked at your own face and you felt like someone did your face, but you didn't on a different
but
dime.
I love that. It's different too, because like makeup is a lot of trial and error. I feel like when I went to college, we did theater makeup. So that was my starting point when it came to makeup. So every time I would try and do it after that, I look like Walter Mercado. And if you don't know who that is, Google it and you will see what mama was
giving.
We
love Walter.
We do. But I was like, that's not what I want to look like. So I think also just watching a lot of YouTube and, you know, I think beauty is just fun. It's fun to play with. It's fun to, you know, try new things that work for you. It does cost money. I remember the first time, when I did my J-Lo in 2019, full drag I did the makeup myself. I think I spent like $400.
And for what? It looked terrible.
I can laugh because I know that's not true.
You know what it was? Is I think I have a photo ingrained in my mind where we were very sweaty at whatever that place was that we went.
Well, I didn't say, there's definitely, I could have done more in the beginning to keep her long lasting, but that's something. I learned, but anyway, I find beauty to be so fun. And I think, you know, whether you're doing Kiehl's or, you know, whatever Ian has in his shower, cause that shit's expensive, that you should have fun with it.
Yeah.
That stuff in your shower.
Wait, which one? The Flamingo Estate body wash up or my face?
No, honey. The Flamingo Estate glass fucking jars that you have in your fucking shower.
Oh, yeah, those are
like,
nice.
This is, I'm like, I don't even want to do two pumps of this. I want just one pump I don't want to like use your stuff.
Yeah, that stuff is nice.
Ian's favorite things for sure, Flamingo Estates. I just love the scents and smells and like, it's like rosemary and, you know, a Tuscan walk during the sunset is how it's like sold. And I also just love the packaging, the experience of looking at it, pressing it down, having it come out into my hand while I'm in the shower, all of it. It's just
the whole nine of it.
Is packaging important for you guys? Because I know, you know, like when you get a book, you like want the book to be cute. Do you like look at packaging? You're like, I couldn't bring myself to get a whole line of this.
Packaging is important, formula is more important.
Ooh,
so
absolutely.
there are things that I use that I've used forever. I'm very brand loyal, like a true Latino. know, Hispanics are very brand loyal. That's why, you know, like Latinos, when they buy a brand, they buy it forever. If you used Colgate when you were a kid, if you used Colgate when you were a kid, if your mom started buying that, your mom will buy, you probably bought that for decades. That's why the brands pay so much money to advertise on Spanish television. But I am very brand loyal. So if I love a formula, I don't care if it's from the dollar store or from Bergdorf Goodman. If it's good, it's good.
Yeah.
And of course, I love new packaging. I love gorgeous, inventive, innovative packaging. I do. Yeah. But it's not the most important thing to me. I know that for a lot of people, that is like super, super important. They need to see when they open the cabinet, the bottles, the containers need to be gorgeous. To me, it's not the most important thing, but we do love it. Like for example, a product that I have literally used, I am not joking, I have used it my entire life.
Can I guess
what it
is? As
long as I remember, probably third grade. What is it?
Is it skincare or is it perfume?
Skincare.
Mm. Oh, okay. Well then, never mind.
Third grade.
I have used third grade. Lubriderm. Do you know Lubriderm? You can buy it at the grocery store, at Walgreens, at Duane Reade. I have used every body lotion, baby, Aesop, everybody, the best, La Mer, and I keep going back to that. The packaging is horrendous. I don't remove the label. I want to see Lubriderm on the shelf. That's the brand. That's the one I use. Yeah. It works well for my eczema. I've used it for literally decades. I think the first time I used it was...
Is it well clinically tested? That's so random. Do you know?
It is. It's dermatologist recommended. It has been from its very... The whole gimmick of it is that it's dermatologist recommended. Gentle on skin, can work on normal, oily skin. And so those are the kinds of things. Like, yeah, is it the most expensive thing in the world? No, but I love it. And to me, when I was a kid, that was an entryway. That was an entry to skincare, right? These kind of... Yeah. Somewhat medical things that allowed me to use the soft things that I wanted. Like I loved face wash and deodorant and toothpaste and shampoo and conditioner, because those are the things that I could convince my mother to buy me before I could take my grandfather to Saks and have him buy me the things I really wanted.
You are literally the reason why I... like and love and aspire for the things in my house, because listeners, like, it's so amazing that you just said that, because I literally did not care about that shit as a boy. Like, I was kind of like a late bloomer when it came to like aesthetic and just overall, like, you know, just like male presentation. Like, I was just kind of like a mess. And then I met Juan.
Why did she come into it, honey? He came in full force.
She's an aesthete.
I'm going to show you a picture. I'm going to find it. But before, I'll give you this long anecdote. No, it's going to be short and sweet. But literally, you are, the way you just described the things you love is why I would come back to my house and be like, Mom, I want this now. And she was literally like,
oh my God,
who the fuck is this boy? Who is wanting? And she would always say like, you better find yourself. And she wouldn't say man, but like, you better marry someone who like can buy you the nicer things and the finer things in life, which is so funny. I'm like, I'm the man who can buy me the finer things in life, Mom. Okay.
Yeah.
Like share to her mother.
Share.
Yeah.
I am a rich man.
To answer your point about like learning beauty in the house and all of that, I did not. I didn't learn about any of that stuff from anyone. I learned a lot of that from you, Bonnie.
Oh my God. That is the ultimate compliment ever.
I'm serious.
I'm blushing.
Like
I'm
besides blushing. Learning if my dad teaching my eyebrows, me how to shave.
They would be raising.
Oh, that's actually a perfect segue. Because I was talking to a friend of the pod, Sam, who works in skin, and we were discussing, you know, we always talk about skin, and he was like, you should tell the world one of the things that is like most important is that if you're going to do these treatments, like the Botoxes and the lasers and the hydrofacials, it's how you handle pairing that with your routine after the fact so that it kind of keeps the investment at its 100%. So you like went and got that done, but then it's kind of, it's what you do after and the products you use. And I said, if you had to tell the world two things that they should focus on the most, and he gave me these two. This number one, I just found out about, and he was, to quote him, gobsmacked that I didn't know this, but SPF. And he said, if there's one thing that you should be putting on your face every day of your life is SPF. Juan, why are you making that face? Are you like, you duh, know that? Or are you, what?
Of course. You didn't know that?
I just don't
you
ever
put
just on.
You've here barebacking the sun for the last decade?
No, I've been put, for like when I know I'm going to the beach, I put on my protection. But then like for every day, I don't do that. I have not been putting on an SPF.
Oh, no.
Because
it's every day, babes. It's every day.
Yeah. I learned that. And then number two, by the way, I would give you more of a floor to like read me, but
wait,
I didn't know.
I
and here
know.
We go.
I wonder how the audience also is going to, is like reacting to that, that you saying SPF. Like, I wonder if they're like, oh shit. Or if they're like, girl.
That's what I'm saying, y'all. You know? It's some people are probably like, oh, it's well, and here's the thing is I just didn't learn how important he explained why it's so important. Mm-hmm. And I'm also a bit like, I don't know. I was just, I'm like, oh, but my face is just getting used to it. Like I want the natural color. But if you want good skin and if you're trying to help pigmentation in the long run, that's what the SPF is helping to do. And I was like, okay, I get that.
And you're still going to get, it's not a blanket. You're still going to get the sun, absorb the sun's rays. So you're still going to get, you know, some of those benefits that you want.
Yeah.
Great.
Even and then with sunblock. But what's the other
number
one?
Number two, he said, was antioxidants. Like the best thing you can do right out of the shower is putting on an antioxidant for in cream form, which is, you know, like a vitamin C serum is kind of what it is. Uh-huh. And then... Yeah.
Wait, by the way, who is a skin guru?
Sam McDougall.
Oh, okay, of course. Okay, give him a proper introduction. Yes, like, again for that. Please,
we can. Honey, I want the accreditation before.
Give him more time so we have it recorded.
Skin Guru, by the way, who gave a lot of the points that we just talked about, is a friend of the pod and a dear girl named Sam McDougall, who works for SkinCeuticals. And thanks to his pioneering efforts, I also now use SkinCeuticals in my day-to-day.
You're a SkinCeuticals gal.
I've never tried for sure.
I am a SkinCeuticals. Yeah. Oh my God.
They're
it's
great.
Like
They're
all
great
I
stuff.
Use.
It's very good quality.
And I wouldn't have known about a lot of this if it wasn't for Sam. And I'll actually, you know what? I'm gonna play you a little. I'm gonna play you the voice memo he sent me.
Oh.
Hold on.
Oh, okay.
So that you just hear it from the horse's mouth.
Oh.
Yeah, I would say that. Like, I'd start with like the number one is just, and like it sounds basic and like everyone should already know and do it, but you'd be surprised how many people don't do it, is SPF, wear it every day. And then, the other one would be antioxidants because people just, I think, sometimes spend a lot of money on like creams or eye creams. And don't get me wrong, they're all great too, but an antioxidant comes first. You put that on your skin very first after you've cleansed or after you've had a shower because that's what's actually going to protect your skin barrier. So it's all about protecting your skin. And then all the creams and eye creams and everything after that, that's not about protecting, that's about correcting. So that's going to help correct any signs of aging or correct fine lines or correct pigmentation. But the antioxidants is about preventing it in the first place. Plus it has stuff in there that also makes your skin like just glow. They would be my two things. The other things is like a good hyaluronic acid, obviously plumps and contours the face. Can't go wrong with that
too.
Absolutely.
Indispensable.
And he was also. Go.
Hyaluronic acid is indispensable.
Yeah. Is there one that you use?
Yes, you would. Hyaluronic. Ava uses Neutrogena. I use The Ordinaries. Mm. It's very affordable. You can buy it at Ulta or Sephora, and it's cheap, and it's just, you know, you just put it right on while the skin is wet, or if you put it on, make sure you spritz a little water on it so that the water, it has something to contribute to the skin.
Correct.
So that it can really do its plumpingness, but it does plump. It's fantastic. Hyaluronic acid is, it's essential to me. I just adore it. And okay, so you know, here's my thing with these products, and I love Retin-A, it's all very, very important. It's all super important. But you cannot beat the OG. Well, it's not the OG, but it is definitely the Mac Daddy of skincare.
By all means.
And that's Botox and the family of neurotoxins.
Oh my God. I don't, you just cannot, like it. I don't like it at
okay,
all.
Okay.
Not to be,
I hate it.
But for me,
no, I know.
Because that's the thing. I love the idea of Botox, but I felt, because I just got it recently for the first time, and maybe I need to do it again to see if it was just the way that it was injected. But I.
Yeah, I didn't really notice anything either.
I didn't love the way that the bottom half of my face under my eyes felt as though it was a part of someone else than the upper part. Also, my eyebrows look like two Nike check marks upside down. And it just gave a cunty look.
That's giving bad Botox.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's giving bad Botox?
Yeah, giving bad Botox. Your eyebrows should not. Like, the hallmarks of bad Botox are like a raised eyebrow for no reason.
Oh, wow.
Because you're you inject too much and it causes the muscle to come up more than it needs to. Like, so the reason I say that it's the Mac Daddy is because, listen, all these things are amazing. If the lines are there, Retin-A and all these motherfuckers are going to help. But they will not remove them completely. Mm-hmm, if you really want to fight or make fine lines disappear on your face, there are peels. There's a lot of things you can do, but the fastest way is neurotoxins. I'm not saying it's for everyone. And the issue is that so many people are doing it now, and I don't mean receiving it. Injecting. So many people are performing, injecting, that you really have to be careful because there is such a thing as bad Botox. I've had bad Botox and I've had really great Botox over the
years.
What's
the other, what would you say is the other, you said that the raised eyebrows is one sign.
The hallmarks, the two hallmarks are either it's, you get like this, I'm going to show you, where you get kind of like the angry brows. God bless her. Courtney Cox had that for a while. You can also get the droopiness here.
Yeah.
Where that comes down. That's a mistake. This is more common. This is a true error when it were to drop. Or you inject so much through the entire face that when you smile, I'm going to get close. When you smile, there's zero movement here. You get no crinkle. And then the cheek comes up and it causes, because there's nothing happening here, so I'm going to put a finger here. You get this weird pocket under the eye. It's like your lower half is moving, but then the top doesn't. It looks like you're a marionette almost, like you're two pieces.
And that's what I actually feel. Sometimes I see some people who do it regularly, and that's the first thing I notice is I'm like, wow, your skin is stunning, but it almost looks like your whole face feels like a rock. Like it feels heavy and your eyes feel like it feels like a mask. It feels like there's a mask on your face that isn't moving correctly or just moving.
I mean,
I like that. I kind of like that.
I kind of like that.
The hard
See,
look?
I kind of like, I want zero movement. I want zero movement. I don't want the eyebrows to come up or down at all. I don't want them to move at all. I really don't. My eyes, my face is very expressive. I don't need it. I really don't. So
but
right
don't
now,
feel like it's
my
more
Botox
expressive
is done.
When you don't have, when things don't move and it's just your eyes?
It does make me look crazier. It does. But I don't care. I don't care. I love how it looks.
I don't
so
care.
I just love how it looks. Okay, so I had it done months ago. I was just thinking about it. I've got to go back next week because I'm going to Aruba, by the way.
Put on SPF.
Yes, I will. I'm going to Aruba with a special someone coming up. And so I want to get my Botox done before it. So, but also, you know, the thing with Botox is if you do it too much, of course, it can also age you, because now we associate frozen faces with old people.
Correct.
Because it used to be that, you know, what they were chasing is unnatural. So now young people have movement. Old people often do not. Exactly. So it can age you. But, yeah.
But a good balance, I think.
A good balance is important.
Absolutely.
I will post my face at 32. No, I will post a picture of my face at 26, and I'll post my face now. And I think also the fact that, like, when you guys are acting actively, and I do think that there is more need to have more expression in your face.
For sure.
Than I need to have.
I did get a note once from a teacher that was like, stop furrowing your brows. Like, what? Stop, yeah, relax
that's
your eyebrows.
That's
relax
the thing.
And I'm like, okay, well, I'm thinking, and this is how my face is, like, this is the thought coming through on the line, you know? And I made a joke. I was like, my God, I feel like I need to get Botox. She was like, honestly, she was like, you could.
This is why I hate acting teachers, because it is, I hate acting teachers because it is, I'm not to, don't get me wrong, I've had good acting teachers
sometimes.
But I will say they're coming at it from, and there's like such a, like, this is maybe tangential, but there's such a like hard stance on like, this is not gonna book you. And it's like, no, you don't know that for sure. Unless you've been getting booked the last 3 weeks, 2 months, 4 days. Ma'am, if the last time you worked was 1985, I don't want to hear about what's going to book me or not. Okay. Mm. And I just don't like that, because then actors, you know, especially in LA, like, hear that thing and they're like, yeah, you probably could get Botox. And then they go do it. And then they're not themselves on camera because they, you know. Anyway, like, one of my biggest pet peeves is Lady Gaga in A Star Is Born. God bless her. What a wonderful performance. But because my good sis has had so much tox, you weren't really, all you saw was the brows just like bam, like
fighting,
you know,
fighting. The brows fighting, were fighting, wanting to be expressive, and they can't.
Tooth, you know, and nail.
And so I totally, and you know, I totally understand the scrutiny she's under, and you know, I don't want to bash her looks because she's beautiful, but it's just one of those things where, you know, you start, like you were saying, you start doing it. That's why I was like, oh, I wonder if I started doing it, if I would see myself differently and want more, or to, you know, like when people do filler and stuff like that.
But you see, you guys don't have any four lines at rest. In my 20s, in my mid-20s, I already had lines at rest.
What about these, huh? And these,
they're not visible like mine were. They're not visible like mine were. And I the first time I did it, I was like, oh my God, my forehead is not engaged. It was very...
kind of like me.
No, exactly. What is the acting technique where you, like, outside in? It's not Meisner, it's... I can't remember. It's
method, like the method acting one.
Dan is not
outside in.
Your costume informs. No, I can't remember right now. But it is. It was very much like the fact that I, you know, chemically forced my eyebrow to not furrow, or my eyebrows to not raise. It relaxed me. I got less tension headaches, because all of a sudden I'm not standing in the subway like this, because I literally can't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was kind of this like outside in thing. It was as if someone was always be like, lower your shoulders. But you know, they inject Botox into women's shoulders now too.
Oh,
and
injected
here.
And cheeks and jaws too. Yeah.
And the jaw to relax the masseter if they're overly pronounced.
Yeah.
To feminize the face. Mm-hmm. They do it here to raise your lip. I mean, it's amazing. But I know it can be a lot. And, you know, and who knows what these chemicals are going to do to us long term. But I'm going down fighting. So,
yes.
I can morir de algo. In English, you got to die from something.
Before you continue, Ian, we're at 59 minutes. And
yeah, I was just going to bring us into... That was just what I was going to say. I was like, number one, so if you guys had to sell one of your favorite things when it comes to a beauty sort of regimen or skincare, what would that be?
If we had to sell... Well, you know what's funny?
Meaning like, yeah, your one number one that you're like, I can't live without.
before a pandemic happened, like I was in talks truly with the factory to have my own line of jade rollers.
If
anyone that's listening has followed me for a while, you will know I had a moment in 2019 where I was obsessed with jade rolling and the Guasha or whatever it's called. Guasha. I was obsessed with it. So we were going to create my own little capsule collection of jade rollers, and it was so fun to like pick out and things like that. So I feel like I would love to do either a fragrance or something like an applicator of sorts, like a, you know, I love to feel comfortable. So like maybe a bathrobe or like a, you know, something that, or like a slipper, something that will give someone the feeling of luxury and comfort.
Yes, I love that. What about you, Juan?
So the question is, what would we make?
No, I meant more like, what's your number one can't live without item? Mm.
Oh, gosh.
But I love that we're manifesting one, so that's great.
It would be my number one can't live without, really? It's a combo. It's a blow dryer and a round brush. Ooh. I can't live without that. I can't live without a blow dryer. Cannot do it.
Yeah,
I love that.
I'd rather a blow dryer over a toothbrush.
Okay.
Work. Okay. Okay.
She's like, stay back.
For real. I can do this another way. I can clean my, but to me, a blow dryer is at the center of my beauty regimen. Even though it's an unsung hero because it's an appliance.
I need Juan to do a get ready with me video. I need it more than I need oxygen. I really would love to see the full facet of what that looks like, because I imagine it's so chic and relaxing and like methodical and ritualistic.
Oh, I definitely see methodical, ritualistic, chaotic, but it would also be chaotic. It would be like, it would be chaos, it would be entertaining, and it would be an hour and a half long. It would be a feature film.
Yeah. It would be relaxing if I had a bathroom that could support me. But there's no counters. There's no place big enough. There aren't stages big enough. There aren't lights bright enough for my get ready with me.
What about you again? Wow.
You know, well, I don't really put a lot of stuff on my face. Like, I don't really need... No, but I guess my number one, like, can't live without would be my right outside of the shower serum. I use an HA intensifier, which is like hyaluronic acid. And I just sometimes, if I'm in a rush, like there have been moments where if there's anything I'm putting on, it'll be that, at least that. And that always makes me at least look and has the appearance of like a great finish. And I just kind of, I always love the way it feels, because sometimes I'm like, oh, this almost, there's a dewiness. There's a sort of like autopilot dewiness that allows me to kind of be like, do I even need moisturizer after? I do it. But I love my SkinCeuticals hyaluronic acid. God, say that six times.
Hyaluronic.
And sorry to this man, Sam McDougall. I use The Ordinary's. It's not as nice as Ian's, but, you know, still an option.
Listen, any protection is good protection. Should we go into our version of, it's not really spilled milk, but this episode we got a voice memo that was specific to you, Juan. And it was a question that we're going to just play out loud.
Love.
Hey guys, I am a big fan of the podcast. My name is Chris and I am located in Philadelphia. And I actually have a question for Juan. I used to be a big time listener to Thanks for Glistening. And I remember you and your co-host talking about a laundry detergent that smells just like Terry Mugler's Angel. And I've never forgotten that. And I am dying to know, what is that laundry detergent? Either way, thank you so much for the podcast and for all that you guys do. I'm a huge, huge fan.
Okay.
So sweet.
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you so much. Once a glistener, always a glistener. Thanks for Glistening. The podcast you referenced was a show that I did with my best friend from high school, Sloane. You can follow her at I Am Sloane Steele. She is a dear woman. And those episodes are true comedy gold. If you are not, I will say so myself, go back. We were in the midst of we're leading up to the world that created Trump and was political and entertainment and culture, a little bit of everything. It was good times. So first, and thank you so much for that very sweet call. It warmed my heart. So I have been wearing, when you talk about beauty and the cornerstones of your beauty life, when I was in fourth grade, I went to a dance at St. Brendan Elementary School. And we all got up, we went to a dance, and it was one of our first dances. It could have been fifth grade, but I'm going to stick to fourth grade. I think it was. And it was one of our first dances. And a girl came in and she was wearing perfume. And I said, what is that? Mm. What is that? I have to have that. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew immediately that that was going to be, I needed to smell like that. She walked by me and I asked her, her name is Karina. She's still a dear friend, Karina Diaz. And I said, Karina, what perfume is that? And she said, it's called Angel. Baby, that was it. Signed, sealed, delivered. Mm. I thought you could get it anywhere. I thought you could get it anywhere. So I took my grandfather to Burdines, okay?
Oh my God. Rest in peace.
It was the Florida store that Macy's bought. It was literally called the Florida store. It was a department store at Dadeland Mall, and they did not have it. It was too nice for Burdines.
Ooh.
Now you can buy it everywhere. So we went over to Saks Fifth Avenue, and the bottle was the bottle for women, which he bought me both. Well, I bought it, but with my mother's money, but he took me. it was the bottle for women. I think it's a beautiful star bottle, and I think it was like $115 or $120. That was a lot of money. Mm. And the men's version, which came in a rubber, it was a star, but it came in a rubber case, which it still does, was like $75, and I bought both. I have been wearing it ever since. Bible. It is a very garish scent. It's Angel by Terry Mugler, and it's Euro trashy. I think now people consider it to be very trashy because it's like kind of, it's worn Nancy Grace. Remember Nancy Grace, the lady who used to have the crime show?
Yeah.
She used to say that when she was a prosecutor, if she ever had to go interview a stripper, you know, like she was involved in like a case that she was working on, they were always wearing Angel. It's kind of synonymous with like new money now.
Oh,
at the time,
okay.
It was very glamorous and very exclusive. It was the Lalabo of that moment.
Oh, wow.
But
that's
now
a big moment.
It's, you know, now it's like very garish women wearing lots of gold that talk like this in Las Vegas smoking, kind of Donatello vibes. That
and
person
Juan
wearing.
Torres. Exactly.
Which is me.
It was like, and Juan Torres Falcon.
So that was a very long-winded answer, but I wear it all the time. I always wear it. When I was in high school, Sloan introduced me to a thing called Glamorous Wash. You want to go on Amazon. You want to go on Amazon. And you want to type in Tyler Glam Wash. In the scent Diva, and it is a laundry detergent. You can use it straight up, or you can add it to an unscented one for a lighter scent, and it smells just like Angel. Look at the bottle. Look at that. Glamorous
wow.
Wash. It looks like you're getting something like industrial.
Wow.
Okay, you
that
can get it
like,
on Amazon.
You can
yeah,
get
that looks like
Amazon?
Drug cartel put something in there.
Yeah, literally.
You can get it on Amazon. So, and, a 32-ounce bottle, which is not big, is $25, but it's only about 63 cents a load. That's not bad, actually. You get about 25 loads out of this thing.
Amen.
I paid a lot more for loads than that.
Wow. And you can order it on Amazon. That's great.
You can order it on Amazon. You can also get it on Walmart. I will warn you that when you order it, sometimes I've ordered it and it comes open. Like, you know, it's...
Mm.
It can be a little shady.
Going back to packaging, the packaging needs some work.
Yes, but Tyler Glam Wash, it will change your life. And I'm trying to make Angel a thing happen. I do not gatekeep. Okay. So like if you want to wear Angel, you can also wear my scent because I wore it first and people will always know that it's me when I come into a room and I'm wearing it. So you can also wear it. And if you really want to be like me, you get the original. If you want to smell just like Juan Torres Falcon, here's what you have to do.
Angel.
You have to take Angel. You can wear the women's Angel or the men's Angel. Men's Angel I usually wear during the day. Women's for like special occasions, black tie, because it's a lot. But I always, usually, almost always layer it with the original Ralph Polo Ralph Lauren in the green bottle with the gold cap. Your uncles wore it. Your dad wore it. It's from the 80s, maybe from the 70s, but it was popular in the 80s and it is a classic. And you wear that on your own. Angel by Ralph Lauren, you can wear it with Chanel No. 5, the men's one. You can wear it with women's perfume. You could layer it with anything. It makes anything, it's like an enhancer. It takes a scent and just goes, and just tweaks its nipples. I'm telling you, you cannot go wrong with it.
Wow.
So there you go. Those are
and
my
on
secrets.
This episode, and that is the end of QVC with Juan Torres Falcon.
Oh my God.
I will sell an
he
item.
He would be so, oh my God. Juan would be amazing.
That's literally what he just did.
On QVC. But like,
on QVC.
I'm over here like, how do we pitch that for him? That's amazing.
I think we just did. Diva. Now, Diva. So Chris from Philly, there you go. I hope you wrote all that down. Thank you so much for asking Juan such a personal question of, yes, of something. I love that kind of stuff. That I
want to meet you, Chris. Hopefully we'll do a live pod soon and we can all hang out.
Oh my God. Isn't that amazing? But this actually was perfect because it brings us into our next segment, our Spilled Milk Holiday Edition, where we are going to essentially spill the beans on things that make our heart, I would say, skip a beat in our household. A little bit of a kind of a take on Oprah's favorite things. It's our favorite things.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm so excited. You know, I was a little nervous to give you guys my list because, you know, you all of a sudden when you're like, what are some of the favorite things in your house? And you're like, wow, I have to do like little league picking of the items in my house. So I felt bad like leaving some out.
I know.
So I'm really excited to hear what your guys' favorite things are. Johnny, what's up in your house?
Oh gosh, I'll give you like two items that I'm really obsessed with lately.
See?
That I think would
stress.
Make really
okay,
great.
Okay, give them to me.
I mean, these are just things that I feel like it's one of those things where people are like, oh, what do you, like, what's that? And you're like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with this. It's that. It's like, you know, so yeah. For me, I just installed and almost flooded my entire bathroom today. I installed my Tushy.
Which oh my God, you got one.
Is, you know, like a bidet for toilets that don't already have them built in, which is a great idea. I think I use it at Ian's house when I was in New York, and I also use it at my beautiful friends Joe and Jeremy's house quite a bit when I was there. And it was just such a luxurious.
Quite a bit. Were you having issues?
Sometimes I just wanted to come home and throw water on my ass. Is that okay?
Exactly.
Absolutely, baby. Of course. I get it.
But I was just like, wow, I thought like I went through the car wash at, you know, Chevron. I was like, my ass is finger looking good. You know, like, and you know, I think it's
good
just
thing.
And it's not expensive. It's like $100 and something. You know, maybe get someone.
It's that much?
Maybe get a wrench. I didn't have a wrench. And anyway, that threw a wrench in my plans of putting it in. But it works.
Nice.
It's nice. It's a fresh, luxurious feeling. Another thing that I'm obsessed with lately, which I got dragged on Instagram for, which, you know, was a lot of fun, is this water bottle that I can show you right now. I'm drinking water out of that apparently looks like a douche to most people.
Wow.
It's glass.
Get your heads out of the gutter, people.
It's glass.
Wait, hold it in front of your face. I want to see it good. Oh, it's cute. It's so cute.
It looks good against your yellow shirt.
Oh, thank you. It's a glass. I love glass when I'm drinking cold things. If you've listened to past pods.
I love glass.
Or seen the clips. But anyway, I love it because it's like soft and it's cute. It's like a cute little cartoony looking water bottle. Yeah. And the straw is soft. It's not a hard straw. Apparently everyone said anything can be a douche if you try hard enough. But I want to make sure that this stays for my water and my iced coffee every morning. It's from a company called Bink. I don't think they're on Amazon, so they won't actually be part of the list. But Bink is but they also have, you know, the different versions on Amazon that I looked up, and I'll add one that's like similar. But if you want the actual name brand, Bink is that girl. So from fake douches to real bidets, that's what I'm living for at the moment.
I love that.
Hear me out. That water bottle is Bjork as a water bottle. That is Bjork. If she were a water bottle, that would be her. It's so precious. It's like a beautiful little thing from a little country.
Yes.
It's beautiful and it always keeps it nice and cold.
Yeah.
Ian, what's yours?
Well, you
go next,
you know,
or you want to go?
Yeah, I have mine right here. So okay, one of the things that is, I love candles. I love scents. I'm actually very like, I have like that nose, you know, when you have those friends who are like, I have the nose that like literally is so sensitive, smells everything on the planet. Uh-huh. I smell the nothingness, but then when I do like a smell, I want it to smell like that. And one of those scents in candle form is, there are two, I just don't have both of them here, but it's the, Malin and Goetz. I never know how to
Malin
say
and
it.
Goetz.
Say it again.
Malin and Goetz,
bergamot candle and their cannabis candle. Mm. They have a cannabis candle that literally smells.
It does smell good.
So good. You feel like you're walking into, you know, a sexy showroom or like just, it, you know, what?
It smells like that because they use it in a lot of the men's clothing stores in Soho.
Mm. Wow.
Wow.
Multiple places use it.
Look at me, my finger
and
on
Williamsburg,
the pulse.
You know, like straight boy, like rich tech straight boy clothing. They wear
yes,
that. They have that
and
candle
I love
burning.
It. That's what I like it, because it has that perfect balance of like the outside mixed with like the inner hatred I have for myself as a gay man, maybe. You know, I don't know. I'm just kidding. You know, it's that millennial shame thing. Millennials have a little bit more shame than the Gen Zers
do.
And then I, you know, Johnny, you were like Dopamine Nation. I actually don't have this book that Johnny read before me and let me borrow called Dopamine Nation, which I loved, which you can also find on Amazon. And you can also find that Malin and Goetz candle on Amazon. But I just don't have it with me. But I really, really loved that book. The writer, hold on, let me find her name. Dopamine Nation by Anna Lempke. You can get it for $9.99 paperback, you know, and if you got Prime one day. And she just goes into the data and science around our lust and seeking for rushes, dopamine rushes specifically, and where in everyday life you kind of like search for that. And it just opened my mind up to just kind of like our habits and why we do what we do and kind of chemically why it is what we do what we do. And so it was really fascinating. No, there's no way I could try to retell because I would just butcher it. But if you are someone who likes the inner workings and wants to know how the sausage is made, it's a great book to understand why we crave what we crave. Dopamine Nation, Finding Balance in the Age of Indulgence. It's a great
book. Not an easy thing to do.
Not an easy thing to do. And I love to indulge. So it was really nice to have this book to kind of be like, ooh, careful. The things you think you're indulging, the things that feel good in the moment are actually maybe not that good for you. And that was the other thing I learned, is the stuff that maybe is the most uncomfortable in the moment is long-term better for you.
Sure. Ooh, I need to read this
book. It's a great book. It's a great book.
I need to read this book because I'm dopamine addicted. I don't want to tell you my average iPhone rate last week per day. It was ridiculous. It was unholy. Okay, so my turn. Merry Christmas. Okay, I have two. The first I referenced earlier, and it's a beauty product. And I'm not wearing it right now, but I'm telling you, it is a staple in my life. And it is the NYX Cosmetics Very Basic Eyebrow Pencil. It's just got a little simple twist. We'll have it on screen. You just twist. You don't have to sharpen it. It comes with a little spoolie brush at the end so you can brush them out. And it works for someone who wants no one to know they're wearing makeup, or if you really want to draw it in, you can totally build it and make it much more impactful. It's also great for men. If you have a patchy beard, you can buy it in espresso or black. Ooh. And just lightly fill in wherever you have that, you know, that little difference. If you have hair my color, if you're dark, you need two colors. You need espresso and you need black. Otherwise, you buy espresso and then buy the lighter one if you have any bit lighter than that. And you just blend them so you can get a really realistic look like right there in the end, and also for your beard. It's just absolutely amazing. You can get them at Ulta. You can get it at Amazon. The prices usually range between $7 and like $11. I've been using it for years. Totally easy. You can rub it right away. plays nicely with other makeup. It's fabulous. The second, and strong brows are good brows. And it'll save you from having to get microbladed. Although I want to do that, but I just haven't done it. Because I can't get an appointment at Perfect Frame. Okay, so the other one is a candle. And we love a dupe. You know, I have always kind of liked dupes, but I usually like just like the expensive thing. But, you know, times are tough. So I like dupes. And TikTok taught me about dupes. And I have a dupe. If you like... We talked about Angel, Angel being, you know, like the Lalabo of the of another era. If you like Lalabo and you like Suntal 33, this candle from Walmart is a total dupe. Okay? Better Homes and Gardens, sandalwood and cardamom musk. Cardamom, green sandalwood, floral, amber, tonka, spice, and suede. It smells so good. This is exclusively at Walmart. It is on sale. I think the retail price is $12.87, but it's currently on sale for $10.87. Who knows? This entire collection of this, it's this candle has this ombre effect with this wood cap by Better Homes, because Better Homes and Gardens has different candles at Walmart. So there's a couple of different collections, but this one you cannot go wrong. There's a whiskey scented one that is fabulous too. And for $10, you can get a really luxurious hotel level floral experience in your home. Your house is going to smell like a real housewife of Miami. I'm telling you, you cannot go wrong.
Wow.
Bitch. Confiing in me.
Wow. You just sold me on that.
The QVC of it all. The QVC of it all.
The QVC of it all.
Delicious. Wow. I feel like, so we're going to, what we'll do is that we will have a full Amazon list with all of our favorite things, and not just the things we talked about right now, but other things we just don't have all the time in the world to just gush about the shit that we love. But
we don't.
Exactly.
We don't.
Exactly.
We don't.
You'll see it.
Will I be able to buy my own Johnny and Ian there to keep with me always? Oh. Are you guys available on Prime?
Wow. Only if shipping
is for sale.
Only if shipping is first class. If shipping is first class, I'll be there in a day.
Ooh. I'm good with business.
Do you come wrapped or unwrapped?
Well, guys, there you have it, amigos y amigas. That was another episode of Tres Leches in El Libros. That doesn't sound right. It should be like in the books, but like in los libros, whatever. Hope you enjoyed diving into the world of beauty with us. I definitely had the best time hearing what it is makes both of your hearts skip. You literally sold me on everything you own. Before we say goodbye to any listener on our Tres Leches the Pod Instagram page, if you guys have any insider beauty tips or routines or things that you want to share with us that you think we missed, or if you want to correct everything I said when I was talking about like anything skin related, you can correct us there. It's at Tres Leches the Pod. I was going to say .com, but it's not. At Insta. And we're so looking forward to hearing what you guys thought of this episode. As always, it was a treat and a delight to be here with you all. Kwani, John, Ni, I love you. Los
love
amo.
You. Bye. 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 Happy holiday shopping.
Oh my God. Bye. Bye. Que la pasen bien. Ciao.
Bye.